Caution, the Mark Unger Show contains adult content intended for an adult audience. And besides that, he's really weird. Welcome to the Mark Unger Show with international marriage speaker and author of Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage, Mark Unger. This is your source for practical, down-to-earth marriage advice without all the over-spiritualization or romantic nonsense. And now the host of the Mark Unger Show, Mark Unger.
Crowd goes wild with delirious joy. They've joined the Mark Unger Show, the show that deals with all things concerning
marriage.
Indeed. I am your host, the one, the only Mark Unger. Joining me as always, the very lovely and charming Diane Brierley and the incredible Philip James Unger. Engineering the show as always, the very talented but eerily creepy Timothy Robert Ray, pushing buttons, twisting knobs, and trying to stay awake during the production of this really boring show. This is the show that handles your marital challenges, relational conundrums, and dating dilemmas that you can email to us at ask@markunger.com. Here's how the show works. You can send us a question about anything, about relationships, really a question about anything, and remain totally anonymous. That's the safety of the program. It allows you to share things that maybe you wouldn't share with anybody, but you'd like to talk about or have some input on. You can do that safely here. But in return for that anonymity, we respond with brutal honesty. This is the show of brutal honesty. We don't care about how you feel. We're not sensitive to people's feelings. If we think you're crazy, we're going to tell you we're crazy. We want to yell at you, we're going to yell at you. But everybody that participates in the show knows that. So those of you who are new to the program, don't panic and freak. Oh, you're being so mean to those people. They know. That's what we do. We are not attacking people. We're attacking ideas, concepts, behaviors that are very destructive. If we like your particular point of view, we will proudly celebrate you. If not, we will castigate you. Three versions of castigation on the show. One is we'll stick your head in the toilet, push the lever, and give you a swirly. Where the water swirls around your head and hopefully knocks you out of your delusional state. If we think you're crazy, we'll give you the goat button. And if you blather on with a really, really long email about stuff that doesn't really matter about anything, you get that chicken. All right, so just get to the point as quickly and concisely as you possibly can. We don't really need to know your entire life's history, and I promise you, we don't want to know your entire life's history, all right? What do you got for us today?
This came from a listener, I think. It comes from Australia, but it would fit for the
U.S. Oh, goodness, I've been talking about this for years.
They say Australia could be heading toward a generation of grand orphans as societal trends turn grandparenting into an endangered institution. Apparently, in Australia, the median age for Australian mothers is 30, like 30 and a half.
Uh-huh.
In 10 years, the number of women who have babies born at age 40 has nearly doubled in the past 10 years.
All right, let me explain this to people. Because so many of you guys are waiting till you're almost 30 to get married and almost 35 to have your first baby. Do the math. I know a lot of you are not very smart, okay? You had the disadvantage of a public education, which they don't teach you anything except how to recycle and why the world is getting hotter when in fact it's not. So anyway, think for just a minute. Math, adding. We're not talking algebra. We're not talking advanced mathematics. We're talking something that a lot of people don't know how to do, which is simply to add, okay? If you are 35 years old when you finally have your first baby and your kid does exactly the same thing, you will be 70 years old before you have your first grandchild. By the time you can have an intelligent conversation with this child, you'll be pushing 80. By the time this kid starts having any struggles in his life and he's 10, 15 years old, you probably won't even be there. And if you are there, you won't have the physical, emotional, financial ability to mean jack squat into the life of that child. You are literally destroying the institution of grandparenting. I was 50 years old when I became a grandparent for the first time. I'm 59 now. I have five.
Almost here. She's almost here.
She's almost
Phil's
here.
Phil's new little girl. Mm-hmm.
I was going to say 5.5, but it's not 5.5, it's more than that. She's almost all the way here, okay? And so it'll be six glorious little grandchildren, which are the greatest joys in our life, and it's so much fun. Here's the craziest thing. Anybody who has experienced this, and we're talking about people who have actually experienced life. A lot of you young guys, you haven't experienced life. You think you know everything. You don't know jack, all right? But you think these are people who have actually experienced life, and they've been young like you. They were teenagers like you. They were in their 20s like you. They did all the stuff you've done already. And looking over their vast experience of life, most of them will tell you that the single greatest joy of that life has been the joy of having and experiencing their grandchildren. It is like a drug-like experience, which you cannot comprehend until you finally experience it, and then you'll know what I'm talking about. Most of you are robbing yourself of that experience. You won't have jack squat. And the fact that more and more, this is not a Christian study, this is just a regular secular study. These people, the institution of grandparenting is being destroyed. And here's the other thing. Mark my words, people, there's going to be hell to pay in Western culture. Talk to any social worker and ask them how many grandparents are the people who step in and make up the difference when their parents go all psycho crazy. They'll tell you it's a huge percentage. Mm-hmm. There's a huge percentage of when you have these troubled kids that the grandparents come in, step in, and take care of those children and raise those children. We are going to eliminate grandparents the way that we're going because y'all can't do the math. You're so such self-censored, narcissistic little snots that all you want is all your money ahead of time. La, 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 and you've bought into this culture that has lied to you. And now you've delayed so long that when you finally, what's going to happen is when your marriages start falling apart and these kids are young teenagers and stuff and everything falls apart, there's not going to be any grandparents to step in and take care of those kids. It will totally fall on the weight of the state, and there's going to be hell to pay. Financially, morally, it's going to be a disaster. We are headed for a disaster, but most of you have never thought about it, and you don't even want to think about it. And there's people who disagree with me about it. You're absolutely convinced, yes, we should wait until we're 37 before we get married because we need money first, and then we should wait a few years before we have children, then we can't have children. If you do have children, you're just not thinking. There is a warning. Do you know, I just read a story. I don't know if I share this with you. In Spain, in Western culture, Spain is the worst of this. They virtually stopped reproducing in Spain. There was an article in the newspaper talking about this village that was celebrating because the first baby born there in 45 years.
No.
Yes. It's nothing but a bunch of old people. And this one couple moved there and they had a baby. And of course, this whole village is going crazy because they all have to try and vicariously experience grandparenting through this one little child. And the whole article is about this one village. This is how bad it's gotten in parts of Europe. And it's starting to spread throughout all Western culture because people have gotten so narcissistic and selfish. And Christians, God help us. You can't help how pagans act. They're self-destructive by nature. But Christians who think this way, you parents who tell your kids, don't you dare get married too young. And you need your college education first. And you need your money first. And you need to establish your career first. And you're pushing them later and later and later. And if this continues, we are going to do irreparable damage to our culture, and there's going to be hell to pay. And quite frankly, I've gotten very pessimistic about this. I think that the whole thing's going to collapse. It's going to take a long time, but it's collapsing. I see no sign of the Christian community taking this seriously at all. They want what they want. They want to be as selfish as they possibly can be. Oh, they still want to praise Jesus, but they want all the money and everything for their kids and da-da-da-da-da-da. And we've got our priorities out of whack. We are the first generation of Christians in 2,000 years that is beginning to breed itself out of existence because we cannot be bothered with children. God help us. It's going to be interesting how we explain this to Jesus someday. You know, Jesus asked the question, when the Son of Man returns, will he find faith in the earth? He never answered that question. And at the rate we're going, I'm telling you, the answer is going to be no if we don't stop it. There are cultures that do cherish children like Christians used to. Muslim families routinely have 6, 7, 8 children per family. What do you think the world is going to look like in 50 years, people, if we keep doing what we're doing? Anyway, after that extremely depressing opening, let us jump into your world of marital and relational questions. We'll do that right after this.
Sign up for Mark's newsletter for your chance to win a Kindle Fire. Visit laughyourway.com.
This portion of the Mark Unger Show, at least that podcast of the Mark Unger Show, is being brought to you by Audible.com, the leading provider of audiobooks in the world. Over 100,000 titles. And this is a way for you to listen to books that you don't have time to read. You say you do this.
I do, when I'm driving on road trips. Because it makes, especially 12, 14-hour drives, it makes it go faster. And when I have to paint, I loathe to paint. So if I put...
I loathe to do anything.
...an audiobook on while I'm painting. In fact, years ago, I listened to almost the entire Left Behind series. You know, those Left Behind books?
Yeah.
While I was painting.
Mm-hmm. Cool. And Phil, you also?
Yeah. I actually downloaded the Audible app and listened to Hunger Games while driving.
That's three books in that series, right?
Yes.
Book's a lot better than the movie?
Oh, yeah.
I've heard.
Yeah? Huh. I thought the movie's pretty good. Two more yet to come out. Anyway, so this is a great way you guys can learn stuff and be more intelligent tomorrow than you are today.
Some of us need that.
Yes, a few of us. So here's a great offer to you. Those of you who listen to the show, if you go to audiblepodcast.com/Gungor, G-U-N-G-O-R, you can download your first book for free. It's free, people. It's free. Just do it today. It's for free. And you'll also get your first 30 months.
30 That'd days.
That'd be nice. 30 days. Absolutely free. So go to audiblepodcast.com/Gungor, okay? Do it today.
You can call it what you want. It's always the same. I can't hide from the guilt and the shame. Would you pray for me, pray for me,
a sinner.
A sinner.
The music of Jimmy Bratcher. Check out his music at jimmybratcher.com. You're listening to The Mark Unger Show and or watching The Mark Unger Show talking about love, marriage, and relationships. What have you got for our first email today?
I was doing the math when you were ranting about the grandparent thing.
Yeah.
I figured out if my grandmother had waited till she was 35 and my mother had waited till she was 35, I would be 17 years old right now instead of being almost 50 and having three kids who have experienced a great-grandmother and a grandmother.
Mm-hmm.
I'd only be 17.
It's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all aren't thinking. I know you're not thinking. You say, oh, no, we need money for this. I'm telling you, you don't. If you can exist as a single person, you can exist. Two single people who are alive and breathing and can actually survive can do so married. You don't need all this money. How about you actually build a life together and do life right and cherish large families? You know, now I must, not everybody can have large families.
Right.
That's the other reason why those who can should.
Mm-hmm.
But just, man, just at least three or four, for heaven's sakes. And let's start turning this tide. People of faith, goodness gracious, in the United States of America, if people of faith would have been having more babies over the last 25 years, and we're talking just, you know, a couple of more each, we would absolutely dominate America today. Do you realize that?
I know.
We have surrendered to a very godless mentality in the United States of America because we would not have more children. And now, if you look at most of our elections, they're on a razor-thin edge.
Yes.
51%. If you can get 52%, that's almost a landslide today. Because we're so evenly split. Mm-hmm. If people of faith would have just had more children, because they tend to follow the values of their parents, we would overwhelmingly be tilted toward a more righteous point of view in our culture. There's still time to turn this. I fear that it won't make any difference because I see no sign that people want to change. There's a few people that listen to us, but it's bad. All right, what do you got?
Okay, I know you're going to want to interrupt me on this, so please listen to the whole thing.
I like to interrupt you.
I know you do, but listen to the whole thing, okay?
All right.
They've been married for 2 years. It's the woman writing in. Married for 2 years. She's 25. He's 31. She says, I'm a Christian. I attend a local church. He's a Baptist and not active in the church. She says, a very long problem of mine. I married a military guy, went through his stuff a year ago after they got married, I guess, and found naked pictures of his exes.
Wow.
Ex-girlfriends, I guess. I want to know, how do I approach this again so either I can throw this stuff away or he can? Every time I mention something about his past, he gets upset with me and says that I should be mature about this and get over the fact that he has this stuff. Shh, don't interrupt me.
It's her problem.
Is this really wrong of me? She says, I understand he has a past, but I hate to be reminded of it. I'm trying to deal with this quietly for the past year and a half. I love my husband. Don't want to disrespect him, but I need to know, how can I approach him about how I feel about this? Also, he still has his exes on Facebook and doesn't think it's wrong.
How I feel.
Shh, don't interrupt
how
me.
I feel.
Don't interrupt
it really
me.
Upsets the way I feel.
All right.
He doesn't think it's wrong to stay in contact with the exes who he has naked pictures with. Please help me get over the situation. It eats me alive daily. She wants to know how to get him to get rid of the pictures.
I feel that I'm not qualified to speak into this because I will confess that I too have and maintain a picture of a naked ex. And in fact, it's right here.
A naked ex.
And I'm so embarrassed by this.
For all of those of you listening on the podcast, he's holding up a picture of an ex.
It's just an X on a white piece of paper.
Just the letter.
The letter X.
And it has no clothes on.
It's a naked
X. It's a completely naked.
I saw you draw that, and it didn't dawn on me what you were doing that for. I was a little slow to the party on that one.
So I confess, I do have a naked ex, so I don't know how I can deal with this.
She says she's gotten rid of some of the ones on the computer.
I assume
wrong
she's
to
talking
get rid of
actually
the
naked people.
And yes, not the letter X.
The letter X.
Naked.
Ah, okay, see. Yes. See, well, that threw me.
I'm sure it did.
Because I didn't know.
I'm sure
you know,
sure
what's
it
wrong
did.
With X's? So, dear, he does this because he can. And you let him. It's just that simple. I know you girls hate to hear this.
Well, he tells her she's supposed to be mature and just deal with it.
Okay. If your husband has pictures of naked women, ex-girlfriends, what are you going to do about it?
Okay, first of all, we don't even have that conversation. I don't even speak to him about it. There's a bonfire in my little barbecue pit outside. I don't even ask him to get rid of them.
I mean...
I don't even ask!
Dear, you have no idea... As we are reading your email, I'm not trying to make you feel bad. I'm just trying to challenge you. As we're reading your email, millions of people, whoever we're, you know, not millions, I guess we have more like 250,000 people. We're still growing. But hundreds of thousands of people are rolling their eyes going, seriously? Are you kidding me? I mean, people are shocked that you tolerate this. Most women who have strong, confident sense of worth would never... tolerate. They wouldn't be writing some guy like me saying, what should I do about my husband and all his old naked girlfriends? He does it because he can. Your problem is not your husband. Your problem is you. Go look in the mirror. That person that you see in that mirror, that is your problem. You are a woman who lacks self-esteem. You're a woman who lacks confidence. You're a woman who lacks who she is. You clearly have no sense of what's right and wrong. That's why you're writing me. And I'm trying to be mean to you, but boy, you got to fix you. You need to get some... Do you have any girlfriends? Or, you know, here's the problem with a lot of these women, they hang around women just like them.
They do. That they do.
But I'll tell you what. Why don't you try to find some women who have great marriages? Find some women who have great marriages. And even though you're not close friends, say, can I ask you a question? What would you do if your husband still had pictures of naked girlfriends? Mm-hmm. See what they tell you. In fact, there's a lot of wonderful military families who listen to this. These are great girls. Go ask some other military wives what they would do if their husband still had naked pictures of their old girlfriends in the computer or wherever else. Ask those girls, what would you do if your husband did this? And, you know... I don't think you're getting a lot of, gee, I don't know. Maybe you should pray for him. I don't know. They wouldn't tolerate it. They would insist he destroys everything. Get away. Don't you touch me until you get rid of that stuff. There's some price to pay. Kick him out of the house. Do whatever you got. Go live with your mom. Do whatever you got to do. You force the issue. He does this because you let him. Even this is an easy call. Even the simplest minded of people. Usually, there's a lot of really simple-minded people out there, but most people would know this is absurd. I bet you, dear, you could go to a stranger in a grocery store, come up to any woman in a grocery store, just at random, mm-hmm. I said, can I ask you a question? Yeah. You don't know me, but my husband has pictures of naked girlfriends, ex-girlfriends on his computer. What would you do if your husband did that? She'd look at you like you're crazy. Listen to what she'll say. I'm telling all of these women would tell you, I'd kick him out. I wouldn't tolerate. The difference between these women and you, and all you girls who have this problem, you girls allow it. The other women don't. I know you all think it's the guy. You have a bad guy. Gee, if I just didn't have a bad guy but a good guy, I wouldn't have this. That's not your problem. Your problem is you are an enabler. You allow men to act very badly, and you do nothing about it. You tolerate it, whereas other women don't. So you can either decide to stay the kind of person you are, or you can change and stop tolerating it. We'll be back with more right after this.
Download your free Mark Gunger app today to see all of the latest from the world of Mark Gunger.
On the Mark Gunger Show, talking about love, marriage, and relationships. Actually, we were just talking about flying cars.
Yeah.
There's a company that's trying to raise money, investors, to create a flying car. This has been something people talk about for years.
They have them. They're called airplanes.
No, these actually become cars. You land and the wheels fold and then you drive them around
town. Oh, so it's like a transformer.
Yeah. But the economics is absurd. Who would take a vehicle that would have that much money in it and drive it around town so it could park in Walmart, and some idiot can open it up and hit it with his car. And it would never work unless he comes up with a way to create a car that literally costs the same as a regular car. And OSHA also happened to fly. And as a pilot, I got to tell you, I'm not about to stick my neck in the air
with
something that costs $60,000.
Yeah. Yeah, that's affordable. And to have that many morons up there flying around in the airspace with you.
Oh, my goodness, I'm telling you.
It's bad enough driving on the roads with them all.
It's ridiculous. All right.
Okay, the next email says, I had a miscarriage in the past and I cried my eyes out about it. That was about 2 years ago. I'm still not pregnant, but more emotionally stable than back then, right after the miscarriage. I realized that my behavior had put a negative impact on my husband, but I know that he wants a child, as do I. It's painful for both of us.
How old are they?
I'm 28.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Again, that's just 28. Mm-hmm. These women don't understand. Tick, tock, tick, tock. Imagine the ones who are 38, 34.
Crying their eyes out.
35. The first baby, when you've been especially if they've been taking
birth control pills
for 10, 15 years. You think you can just shut it off and all of a sudden you're going to be fertile? Some can, but a lot of you, I'm telling you, the time you should be getting married and having children is in your 20s, and the earlier the 20s, the better. It's healthier for you, and it's healthier for your children. Mm-hmm. There was a study we talked about some years ago that they said that the researchers went, and they discovered that your chance of living to 100 years of age doubles if your mother was under 25 years of age when you were born. Mm-hmm. It's actually healthier for human beings. Mm-hmm. The older you are, the less likely you are. Some kind of a gene pool deal. It's stunning that people are waiting so long. Anyway, so her heart's broken. She can't get pregnant. Yeah. Having a hard time. She wants to know what?
She wants to know, is there a Bible verse that disproves that she won't have kids? All women in the Bible have kids sooner or later, she says.
I don't know that that's true. But most people in the Bible, well, most people, period, have children early because they got married in the Bible times at 14. Good grief. They didn't have the problems you guys are having today. They weren't taking birth control pills and everything else. And I certainly don't know that there's any Bible verse that specifically talks about God promising you to have children. Might be, you know, look it up. But the truth is, you can trust God. Jesus said, just trust in faith. And that'll apply to children or anything else. Trust God. All right, we'll be back with more right after this.
Caution, the Mark Gunger Show contains adult content intended for an adult audience.
And wise in fact. Then I rushed in, and that was that.
The music of Michael O'Brien.
Instant fool.
Check out his music at michaelo.org. You're listening to The Mark Gunger Show and are watching The Mark Gunger Show, talking about love, marriage, and relationships. This lady just wrote us, and late 20s, having a hard 28, 29, having a hard time having babies. You know, is there some biblical answer, some specific verse about babies? I'm sure there must be somewhere. I don't know. I'm not up on my baby verses, but... In general, you don't need a specific verse for your answer, you can just trust God and pray. Jesus said, if you will pray believing, God will hear. He said, but I've been doing it and I'm having a hard time. Yeah, that's the challenge. Better to do life right in the first place than to have to need a miracle. The good news is God will give you miracles, but you got to have faith for the miracles. And it's not as easy as you think. Better to not need a miracle, in my opinion, than to need a miracle. It's like, gee, if I jump off this roof and break all my bones, will God forgive me and heal me? Theoretically, yeah. Mm-hmm. What, can I trust God for healing? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Should I jump off the roof? No. You know, not a good idea. Well, God can heal me. Yeah. See, that's the problem. I know it's going to sound very weird to people, but oftentimes the Christian community, we're great at emphasizing forgiveness and grace and redemption, which we should. But we're terrible about telling people how to live life so they don't break in the first place. And in fact, we're so cavalier about it, people literally have the concept and idea that it doesn't really matter how you live because Jesus will fix you once you get right with him. Mm-hmm. There's parents like that. They don't really teach their kids how to live life. They don't really get all that excited if they're sexually active or doing, well, we're just praying for them and Jesus, you know, God will fix it all later. Well, he can forgive it all later. Fixing it is oftentimes you can't unscramble these eggs, and it gets very, very complicated. We got to quit creating the kind of vision of Christianity that it doesn't matter how you live, that Jesus will just fix it later. Because those of you who've done a lot of really bad decisions in your life, and you are serving God today, you do celebrate God's forgiveness, but there's a lot of consequences as a result of what you've done. And so I don't know. I don't think the purpose of faith and grace and stuff is so that you can live casually. You know, it's like watching for your children, you know, making sure they don't play in the street. Well, they shouldn't probably, but it's no big deal because if they get run over, we'll just pray God to heal them. Mm-hmm. You'd be mortified by that. But in a sense, that's what we've been doing with our generations. That's why the church is so weak today. We're great at helping broken people heal, but terrible at trying to get people not to break in the first place. Do you know 80% in America, 80% of children who are raised in evangelical Christian homes, they say give up on their faith by their second year in college. Then they run and they do all these things and they eventually come back, but now they're really broken. And the good news is, again, God will forgive you. We will reach out to you. We'll try and help you heal. We'll put you in the addictions programs and the, you know, grief programs and all the different. Okay, and we should do those things. But guys, don't you think it would be better if we could teach people not to break in the first place? Show them that they don't have to go down this rat hole, that they don't have to struggle with the pain. A lot of the reason y'all struggle so much in your marriages, quite frankly, is because of what you did and the attitudes you picked up before you got married. And most of you doing things in immoral ways. Well, say, Pastor, God forgave me. Yes, he does. But you're still dealing with the consequences of this stuff, aren't you? You know you are. That's why we're trying to help you. But goodness gracious, people, let's try and encourage people to do stuff right in the first place. You know, and I'm telling you, this is becoming a major problem in the church. The church is full of young women like this. Their hearts are broken. They come forward for prayer. They're trying desperately to have a child in their 30s and whatever it is, and they can't get one. And I just think, man, wouldn't it have just been better if they'd have started having babies at 20, mm-hmm. 21, 22? Yep. They'd already be, the kid would be 10 years old by now, yep. You know, and moving on with life. That's the other thing. People aren't doing the math. If you're 35 when you have your first kid, man, you're my age, and the kid's mm-hmm. just getting out of high school. Much less a chance of becoming a grandparent. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, people are not thinking. It's a heartbreaker. We feel for you, dear. Trust God. God, you don't need a special verse just about babies. You got lots of verses about just God answering your prayers. But for the rest of us, dear heavens, let's stop the crazy. What else you got?
You hit on something. I want to take a rabbit trail here. When you were talking about kids going off to college and losing their faith and everything, I was having an interesting conversation with a friend of mine who's a Christian, older grandkids,
really?
Like your age.
Really?
Yes. What's that?
Oh, you have a friend?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
And we were talking about my daughter being 18 and going off to college, and we were talking about this faith, and they walk away from faith. And I got into a rather heated discussion with her because she said, well, kids just do that. All kids go through that. They all, you know, experience this part where they struggle with their faith, and they question it, and they walk away. But they always come back.
That's not true.
And I just
looked
at her. That's
not true that all kids walk away from it.
And I said, I think that's a wrong expectation, that you just think that that's normal and that you're saying that. I said, I do not want to expect that my daughter is going to go off to college. Oh, that's just normal and that she's going to do that. I said, I will not believe that. I said, I will not speak that and say, well, that's just normal. All kids do that. Just because 80% of them do it, I don't want that to be the normal. But that is what Christian people think. Oh, they all do that. They all sow their wild oats and they do this. And then they come back. What the heck? That you're saying that's the norm?
All the baggage they pick up. I don't think that's the way God planned it.
Just because it's what
I just
the
don't.
Norm is doesn't mean it's right.
And my kids weren't out there doing drugs and getting pregnant and going in prison and everything else and not believing in God. And then they came back to Jesus later. My kids stayed connected. I mean, everybody has their challenges in life, but we're talking people who really get messed up. They don't even believe in God for a while. And do God knows what morally in their lives. And people think that's just normal. It's not normal. You can actually raise children. A lot of us have done it. You raise children who actually stay true to God and to their faith their whole lives. That's the ideal.
But to say that, that's just to be expected, I was just taken back by that comment. It's like, no, I'm not expecting that.
I can tell how upset you were. You were hitting the table and
she becomes violent.
She does become violent.
I got very upset.
All right, so much for that rambling on from that last email from the first part of the show. We'll take a quick break and come back with more emails right after this.
Have a marriage dilemma? Email your questions to ask@markgunger.com and Mark can answer them during one of our shows.
Mark Gunger Show, answering your questions about love, marriage, and relationships. What do you got?
Here's a rant-worthy question. She says, my husband and I just finished watching The Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage via DVD. We both loved it. Would like to thank Mark so very much for creating this DVD. I only have one issue with something he says. Only one? That's pretty good.
That's pretty good.
He says that...
That's a win for me, right, Liar?
He says that we need to, as wives, to tell or ask our husbands more than once to do something that we'd like them to do. I don't think about it. I didn't think about it at the time, but afterwards, while going over the seminar in my head, I thought, why should a wife have to remind the husband several times to do something when a boss isn't expected to do the same to their male employees, and the military male soldiers don't need to be asked or reminded several times to follow through with the task? And I'm sure that goes the same for men in college. So why should a husband have to be reminded by his wife several times to do something for her? I understand a man's brain is wired differently, but in this situation, it only seems to pertain to men and their wives and doesn't seem right to me. I'd be very interested in Mark's response to this question.
Doesn't seem right to me. Again, we talked about that on yesterday's show or whatever. Women are obsessed with why. They can't just take the truth and deal with the truth. They've got to dissect it and ask why. They won't do it. They'll just ask why. Again, they tend to be hearers of the word but not doers.
Well, why does it apply to the wife and not to the rest of his life?
Can we just discuss this more? Can we do that? They will talk things to death and not do it because they think they're being spiritual by asking lots of questions.
Okay.
And they are actually just doing everything they can to it. It's their version of not doing something. If I just keep asking questions about something, I don't have to do it. So, let me give you my best reason for why. But to understand, it doesn't matter why. It's just, it is what it is. You want to succeed with a man? You want to get a man to do something? You got to get comfortable asking him for what you want. Asking him more than once. Mm-hmm. And not insulting him when you ask him. It's just that simple. Why is that? Why is that? What? Who cares? Who cares? What is it with women?
But they do care because the boss doesn't have to do it. So why do I have
to? I'm going to explain in just a second. But even then, she'll have more questions about that why. There is no answer. They're circular. They just don't want to obey the truth, in my opinion. They just love to ask questions. Again, if I tell women are such and such, and this is why you need to approach them such and such. Most men will go, oh. You don't get men going, well, why are they that way? Well, why do they have to be that way? Why do they feel that way? Why does it have to be? Can I do something about it? Seriously, girls, you can't just take the reality. This is how men are. Just deal with it. But no, they got to ask why, as if somehow, what does it change? If I drop the pen, it'll fall down. Why? Well, because there's gravity. But why is that? How come it's, you know, what? What difference does it, if I can explain it 15 million ways from this, that, and the other, what difference? The pen is still gonna drop. Goodness gracious. Okay, now, why do men need to be reminded when they don't have to be reminded by their boss? Because you're asking him to do something he doesn't want to do. Here's the thing that's a shocker for you girls. We don't want to do what you asked us. Get over it. Why don't you pick up your underwear? Why? Because we don't care. We think the underwear is fine right where it is.
Yeah.
Okay? Over here in the back. Get Danielson! Get a picture of these wires over here in the corner, on the floor. Okay? This is my version of filing. You see that?
Mm-hmm.
Now, why is that? Why do you have all those wires in the corner there?
Why don't you put them away where they belong?
Why don't you put them away? Okay? You know what I'll do? Okay, I'll just put them away. Mm-hmm. All right? Why? Because I think they're fine. It doesn't bother me. The reason you got to ask your husband to do something is because obviously what is it you want him to do, he doesn't feel a high priority to do it. It's just that simple. Okay? It might be a big deal. It's not to him. So just ask him again. What do you care the why? And by the way, if you want something from a man, you got to tell him what you want.
Mm-hmm.
You got to ask him more than once. Mm-hmm. And don't insult him when you ask him. That's my three mm-hmm. basic things. There's another one. We'll get into that. Okay? And you guys think it's so terrible. Oh, it's so why? All right. I want you to forget about your husband for a minute. Think about God. Think about your loving Heavenly Father. If you want something from God, what's the first thing you have to do? You have to
ask.
Ask for what you want. Mm-hmm. How terrible. How terrible. Why does God? Why do we have to ask God? The Bible says He knows what we need before we ask. What? I don't know why. You know what a man will do? He'll just ask for what he wants from God. We don't analyze it. Women with God, they don't have a problem with it. They ask for what they want. Number two, Jesus taught us you need to ask more than
once.
Ooh! Even with God, ladies, you have to ask more than once. Why is it? Why? How come we can't just ask one time? I don't know. All I know is Jesus said, here's a great parable. Like the lady who came to the unjust judge and saying, help me, help me, help me, help me. And kept bugging him. And finally, the judge helped the lady. And he said, this is how you should pray. Ask. Keep on asking. Knock. Keep on knocking. Seek. Why is that? I don't know. Now, some pastor might have some brilliant explanation of what happens in the spirit realm and why you need to press through. And it's, okay, but who cares why? It is. Jesus taught us you got to ask more than once, so you ask more than once. And then thirdly, you don't insult God when He doesn't do things the way you want Him to do it. But so, women frequently treat their husbands, they resent treating their husbands the way that they approach God all the time. Mm-hmm. They got to ask God what they want. They got to ask for more than once, and they got to be respectful when they do it. But as soon as they probably add to their husband, well, why is that? Why do I have to tell him? He should be paying attention. Why do I have to tell him more than once? What? And you wonder why your marriage stinks. Living you with you must be such a joy for your husband. Good grief. Who cares? Why are you women so obsessed with the why? You can't just learn and say, this is how you deal with men, and go, oh, great, I have a secret, now I'm going to do it. Now, some women will. A lot of women do. They take it, they do. But then you've got this smaller percentage of women who are obsessed with the whys, and I don't think you're helpful. You're not being helpful to yourself. You're making life way more complicated than it needs to be. And now that I've made hundreds of thousands of you really angry, we'll take a break, and we'll be back with more right after this.
Want more of Mark? Visit markgunger.com. There you will find everything that Mark has to offer.
Did I think of you? See the man you want me to become.
We're back. Mark Gunger Show. Answering questions about love, marriage, and relationships. What do you got?
Can we go back to this why thing with this
Yeah, yeah, go.
You know, the same reason that men have to be told to do something more than once is the same reason, even though you know your husband wants sex all the time, he has to keep asking you for it. Just saying.
Hey, there we go.
You know, your husband needs sex.
Why does he got to constantly ask you? Why does a man have to keep asking to be nice to the girl so she can get some sex? Why do we got to see women?
I mean, the shoe fits on both feet, but they just don't get it. I had to throw that in there. Defense of you men.
And all men everywhere, thank you.
Okay. Just saying.
Amen.
Okay, the next email
says... That's a wonderful thing. That was beautiful.
Sorry. I have to throw the dog a bone once in a while.
I'm verklempt.
Of course you are.
I think he's looking for something on his computer. Wait for it.
Here it is! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! An offense for men! Hallelujah! Isn't that interesting? A woman would expect a man to have to ask and be nice and everything, and he wants to make love to her, even though she knows he needs it. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's brilliant. I've never thought of that. Oh, thank you. Another weapon.
And that's proof right there that you don't listen to a word I say, because that's like the fourth time I've said this to you.
Really? Mm-hmm. I don't listen to what you say.
I know you don't. Proof right there.
Because you're boring.
Mm-hmm, all right. Apparently.
What else you got?
Next email says, I just caught my husband in adultery. He's been looking at porn and texting prostitutes for pictures. He's a truck driver. And I caught him with an email address, apparently, that was secret. Uh-huh. In the email, he was going to meet a girl and her husband. And had been with this couple twice already. Apparently the husband watches what's going on. I don't want to get into the details of that. She has a 4-year-old and a 6-year-old. She says, I never wanted to get divorced, but I'm not sure what to do. I can't stand it. What should I do? She's 41. He's 42, married 8 years.
Okay, so listen, sweetheart. I mean, if there is one reason, there's lots of people get divorced for all these stupid reasons and stuff, which I think are by and large unbiblical. But if there is one reason for divorce that Jesus talked about, this is it. Sexual unfaithfulness. You want me to come up with something else that can fix this? I don't have an answer for you. And as far as I know, the Bible doesn't either. This is the ultimate betrayal. You have a very unfaithful man. You need to kick him out of the house. I mean, if you don't want to divorce him, at a minimum, kick him out until this stops. You're spending more time and energy tracing what he's doing and looking into what he's doing and finding out the secret email, and all, when in fact you know the man is committing adultery.
Well, she said he didn't have sex with her. It was just oral sex.
She said she caught him having adultery.
She said, well, apparently considers that to be in the adultery. Because I said, so has he had sex with her or anyone else? And that was a follow-up question. And she said oral sex.
Okay.
So I'm not.
Okay. So if we're not going to consider that, I don't know, most people still would consider that sex, and that's terms for divorce. Mm-hmm. If you don't, at a minimum, you still have to confront him in the strongest of terms. What are you thinking? The man is cheating on you, but you still take care of him, and you still feed the children, and you still clean his house, and you still wash his underwear, and you still take care of his dinners, and you still have sex with him when he wants to have sex. Exactly what's his motive
to change? Well, she did kick him out, and they set up counseling and all of that. So it sounds like they're kind of on the right track for things here. But
so it's a question to me.
She wants to know what she should do.
Well, she's doing it.
Yeah. So far, so good.
That's it. That's what you do.
Yeah.
You confront them. Now, don't do one of these things, because a lot of times what they'll say is, I did that once. Mm-hmm. You should go to counseling. Or you need to leave. I did that once 17 years ago. Really, girls? Once? Listen to me. You have this confrontation the first time you have the problem like that. If he says he's going to repent and he's going to move, you come back. And if he does it again, you leave again. And if he wants to repent and come, you do this. If you got to do 20 times. Look, even a dog at some point can be trained. But here's another problem. A lot of these women, if they'll do something, they'll tend to do it one time. Here's that problem again.
I know, but in this area, I think I would do this once, too. I mean, if he's going to be with prostitutes and something else, I might say, okay, you made a bad choice, because he's saying he made a bad choice.
No, listen, I agree with you that I think this is
in this area
grounds for divorce. But if she thinks it's not,
Yeah.
Let's say he's just looking at inappropriate things and talking to women inappropriately.
Okay, that
just,
I might
just
give.
Just at that level. That you
that
keep,
I might give more than
keep
one
forcing
chance.
It. You do, every time you find him doing something like this, you kick him out of the house.
Yeah. Until but you're physically some, with another woman?
Until at some point he gets a clue. Now, at this point, I think you're being very liberal in a generous sense, saying that, well, he didn't technically have intercourse with her. Okay, if you want to go, I don't have a problem. Look, I don't have a problem with people being merciful.
Right.
Okay? But you need to confront this. She says, well, I'm doing it now. Okay, but don't be one of these women yeah. who then later tells us 10 years down the road, and I say, well, you need to support. Well, I tried that once. You're probably going to have to do this a half dozen times at a minimum. Because what'll happen is he's got this habit and he doesn't know how to break it and he doesn't take you seriously. You kick him out of the house, you separate, he goes for counseling. And isn't it just interesting? She leaves him and now he's doing what with her?
Going for counseling, getting the STD
see,
testing.
Something that he wouldn't do before. What brought that about? The separation, you people. Separation can be, not a permanent separation. The Bible says you shouldn't have a permanent separation. And if you do, stay unmarried. I'm talking these short-term deals where you leave to make a point. And then all of a sudden it drives him to counseling. But here's what's going to happen again, I promise you, unless she listens to me. He'll do it again, and then she won't do anything. Because well, and I'll say, well, you need a separate. Well, I tried that once. This is not a tried once thing. I don't care if you got to do it 50 times. Every time he goes over this line, you kick him out until at some point he gets a clue. He cannot disrespect you in this way. You women who are strong, confident women who won't ever tolerate this, these are the women who don't have the problems. It's you women who are weak, who are insecure, who are afraid of conflict, and you just let this stuff happen over and over and over again. You think you have a bad man problem. Well, you do in a sense, but your problem is you. You don't know how to lay down the law and say, this will not happen in my home. You cannot do this. All right, thanks for watching and listening. See you next time.
Bye, bye, boys.
Have fun storming the castle.